It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
And that is why, despite what you have heard many, many times, I know, in pop culture, children are in fact not even remotely our future.
I've just been living a lie.
A lot of people.
Boy. Well, thanks for telling me that. I mean,
no problem.
You know, here I am, middle age, and I could have lived the rest of my life
thinking children in the future.
Yeah.
So, you recognize Gus over there, like, humping your shoe?
He's quite a bit bigger, for sure.
He is 5 pounds as of today. We went to the vet today. As you can see here.
Yeah, that's a scratch.
Yes, that's a bad one. Apparently, the sound of the vet's exam room door closing scares the shit out of him.
Hmm.
And this was the first time, and then a different time it happened again, but I didn't get scratched. But yeah, he has 5 pounds, and the awesome news is the vet said next month we can neuter him.
Well, he probably won't like that.
No, but we'll love it, because it should calm his ass down.
Will it?
That's what they say. I really hope so, because he is a nutball. Hoi. He's exhausting. But yeah, it was a month earlier than we were expecting, but apparently he's been gaining enough weight. So he looks like a cat now, doesn't he? Like, I mean, a small cat, but he doesn't have the kittenish look anymore.
No, that's true. You're right.
Yeah. It's very weird.
A small cat, but definitely not a kitten.
Yeah. I mean, you wouldn't confuse him for adult, but yeah, there's a point. For those of you who haven't ever had kittens, it's like when a baby looks like a person, you know. Age 1, they're still kind of a baby. 2, you know, somewhere around 3, you start seeing, like, person features.
And proportions.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
A kitten's head can seem a little too big for its body.
Exactly, yeah.
Now he doesn't look like that at all.
He's being pretty good tonight. I don't know what that's about. It's a little confusing. You can still tell he's a kitten, though, because sometimes he'll do something where, like, he's scratching his ear like that, but then he gets distracted and starts looking around, and so he's just scratching empty air, and sometimes he even gets distracted enough, then he falls over. So he still has his kitten moments. So hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. The only podcast in the world that will straight up punch you in the junk if you even think about talking about politics this week. Because I'm sick of it. I do not even nothing about politics. I'm Tony.
And I'm William. And this is episode 281.
Yes.
We're going to do a two-parter.
It's a two-parter because I'm in Virginia next week. Those of you hard hats out there are familiar with this. Every year go to Virginia. It's happening again. This year is a little different in that this year we are staying in the house my in-laws have purchased.
Mm.
This is their house. It is their second home that they most of the time rent out to the company that handles that. So it's not like they live there, but technically they are the owners of this one.
Nice.
Which means they got a little more control over what they do and don't do, and also means that we all had a hand in picking out the furnishings and the decor and a lot of things, so that's cool. It feels like it's been 2 weeks, but it's only been 1 week.
Yes.
I keep feeling like it's been two. I think it's been just a very crazy week, maybe. But, yeah, it's been 1 week, so how's your week been?
Aren't you going to tell people how this works first?
Oh, right. All right. Those of you just joining us, we have a cat. We have 3 of them, actually. That's why we talk about them. No. But also, we have a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, that people like yourselves write to that address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, comments, questions, topics, things like that. the hat on its own magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. We, its servants, draw the note cards out at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour, that's the whole show. So you keep staring, I guess. BuzzFeed had a couple of videos that I watch. Well, there's one that's cat lovers get surprised with a box of kittens, and that's kind of cute. But there's people who claim to hate cats who get surprised with a box of kittens, and that was kind of interesting. And then today I watched one that was people who hate cats take home a cat for a week. And that went way better than I would expect. Like, every person involved ended up keeping the cat. Like, they were that into it. It was kind of surprising. See, I watch you, and I wonder... I think if you had one living with you, you would learn. But... So, how's your week been?
I don't hate cats, you know.
I know, but you're really not... Like, you have never pet one of our cats.
Well,
You work really hard to avoid.
I'm not... You know, when I grew up, animals were outside. All the animals...
No. You're on a farm, and it's built in your DNA. I get it. But
right in,
that's what I'm saying. I think if one lived with you, I think it would be different.
But, my week... let's see. You know, mostly just... working. It seems like we watched a few things. There's a BBC show called The Last Kingdom. That's on Netflix, and we watched that. It's pretty good. Have you even heard of it?
I have. It's escaping me what it's about.
It's a period piece.
Well, it's from England, I assumed.
In the 9th century.
Oh, sweetie. Hi, Izzy.
You know, the Danes are invading England, and it's mostly about that. If you watch...
Was that your mouth or your butt?
If you watch Vikings, it's not... Those two shows aren't set in the same period, but it almost feels like when you watch Vikings...
from one side
and from
one
other.
You're
seeing it from the Viking perspective, and from this one, you're seeing it from the Saxons' perspective. But it's a pretty good show. We continue to watch Veep, which is really strange...
Veep!
...to watch a show...
Veep!
...that's, you know, 20-minute episodes,
Veep.
But there's only 10 of them. In a season. That seems so weird to me.
10 is an unusual number. I have run into it before on a season. But 10 is unusual. More often you're going to get 13 or 22 or 6 or sometimes 8.
6 20-minute episodes?
Yeah. You got that. Usually that'll be like a British show. But yeah, you can have a short run of 6 20-minute. Pretty much this day and age, any way you can count out hour-longs, you can count out half-hour-longs.
Well, if we weren't watching 4 seasons of it at a time, because we hadn't watched it before, I think it would be annoying. I think it would be really annoying to watch 8 for the first season, I think, and then 10 episodes, and then, okay, well, a year from now, maybe we'll watch the next season.
I don't know, you ever watch Sherlock?
Yeah, well, that's a little different, though. That's like 3 90-minute episodes.
And then 2 years before you
see. Yes, that's true, but still. Let's see, what else? I heard right
that was your mouth.
Coming over that they're going to make a sequel to The Rocketeer. Disney's going to make a sequel to
I did see something about that. I didn't look for more details because I didn't care.
To reboot the franchise, but not reboot in the sense of start over, but they're going to have a sequel, and... The new rocket. There is going to be a new Rocketeer, a new person wearing the outfit, who's going to be in the hopefully subsequent movies, and they're going to cast an African American woman for that role. So that's going to make some people mad.
Oh my God, that's hilarious! Because literally, I was waiting for you to finish talking, so I could completely sarcastically and jokingly say, "Maybe this time it'll be a woman of color,"
well,
and mock you. And holy shit!
It's going to be.
Wow. Score one for William.
Yep, score one for me. Oh, that's another thing that
happened
this
week. Unless
it just
sucks, but still.
Yeah, that's true. Is the really good Wonder Woman trailer came out. Really good.
Uh-huh. I was pleased. I wouldn't say it was like a perfect one. Like if I was going to make it, that's what I make. But it led me to believe both that I think the movie will be good and that I think the movie will handle mainstream appeal.
Well, they seemed... Another thing about it was...
Chris Pine is a good choice. I was a little worried about overshadowing, but I feel it works pretty good.
It seems like the trailer was made for feminists.
Well, at this point, that's who you gotta push for on the Wonder Woman movie, because that's who you're finally giving what you want. I mean, everybody's been bitching about this for years. You might as well exploit the built-up tension.
I don't know if I've ever seen a trailer that I thought was targeted specifically at
people. No, it's because they've never given them a damn movie.
Well, that's true, but I mean, for one, they're going to bring back the notion of her not having a father, although I don't know if that's permanent.
Yeah.
It might be down the road.
It's hard to say.
They change it. You know, and there were several other things in there that were clearly a nod to her being a feminist icon.
But didn't have any of the usual, look how much better she is than every man kind of thing.
Yeah,
that's the usual ham-fisted version.
Yeah.
Here's the woman who can beat any man. No, here's just a capable woman, and there's some men around, but she's still capable. Like, it's fine.
Well, and she's in a world that's very sexist, and she's calling that out.
Yeah.
You know, as hopefully anybody who has modern sensibilities would. So it's kind of interesting. And they're setting it all in World War I. I don't know if everyone's aware, instead of World War II, which I was talking to a few people about that, and they were very confused about that.
Probably don't want to... Oh. Different continuities. I was going to say, probably don't want to tread off over Captain America. And I'm like, oh, wait, never mind.
Well, I the reason I heard when someone first brought it up was that they didn't want an era where there was so little moral ambiguity, kind of, right? Like, because the thing is, what we know already, that she's not going to stick around.
Mm.
You know, that she's going to do some things in this era and then leave, and then
get frozen in a glacier, and then
go back to the island, and then
Samuel Jackson will wake her up.
Come back to Man's World later. So it's kind of, I think it was harder for the writers to imagine her helping the whole world fight Nazis and then leave in disgust for how awful the world is.
Yeah.
You know, after everybody sort of came together to fight this, you know, unambiguous evil.
I think it's good. It's a refreshing change. I've seen enough World War II stuff.
Well, and it's not like Marston really chose. I mean, that's just what was going on at the time. He didn't deliberately choose the World War II setting for his story because...
No. And I don't begrudge that. I'm just saying, as of recently, I've seen enough World War II ones, especially superhero-based stuff and things like...
Right, but there are some purists out there who think it should have been World War II, and I'm thinking, well, I don't think Marston really cared about... I think it was just... That's just what was going on, so that's why he set it in that time period. I don't think it's a problem to put it in a different context, especially if you've got a good narrative reason. And I think it is a good narrative reason to say, well, we don't want it to be so obvious, right? We want the bad guys to, you know, not seem so bad. I mean, the Germans and in World War I, they weren't really Nazis or anything. There's a lot less moral certainty about who should be fighting who and what should be going on there. So
I feel like this is a very valid argument that only applies to like five really narrow-minded nerds out there.
Well,
because I agree, I don't think it's a problem to a degree that I don't even think it's worth mentioning, really. Like, oh my god, ruined the whole World War I, not two. I don't think. Fuck off, really. Just go home. Fuck off, all of you. And here's where I find out that some of our listeners are really concerned about that. I'm like, you know what? Still, fuck off. No, it's not really a thing.
But I mean, I thought it was a good trailer.
Compared to all the other things they might have screwed up.
Yeah, it made me feel good about it. Now, another thing that someone was pointing out was that it's a fairly fight, you know, oriented and focused trailer. And, you know, a lot of longtime fans of Wonder Woman point out that from her very origin, she's really, you know, stands for peace and things. And there are some people that they don't really like the image of Wonder Woman walking around with a sword all the time. So there were some people who were mildly concerned about that, but very mildly. I mean, it seemed like all the responses.
Well, and there was no chance it wasn't going to be.
That's true. That's right. I also hope that.
I almost had an analogy I was going to make, but then I remembered that I have to punch you in the junk if I talk about politics. So yeah. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah. Wait a minute. If you talk. Politics.
Anybody. If the cats talk about politics, I punch you in the junk, like, at all. If anybody talks about politics while they're listening to this, they let us know. I have to go find you, punch you in the junk. So, go to the blog and tell us if you talked about politics during this, themagicaltalkinghat.com, so I'll punch William in the junk.
But I think that's really all that happened of note for me. Please regale us with the tales of your life.
Oh, so many things. So many things. We are not quite done with Stranger Things.
Okay.
We have two more episodes, but Trish has already left, so, and Trish will be gone 2 weeks, so it'll be a while. But that's okay, because I'm going to follow it through the end, but wow, it sucks. And I feel weird about saying this, because I found out there's a not insignificant number of people out there who don't think it sucks.
Really?
I think it's pretty popular. I think we've already confirmed a second season, in fact.
Really?
And, but yeah, it's bad. I get, Trish finally figured out, she said, I think I'm just watching it for the nostalgia. It's, yeah, people don't talk like people, the story's a mess, every single subplot is annoying, like, super annoying, super annoying. Yeah, it's just a disaster. It looks good.
It's
and you know, episode 6 titled The Monster ended with a big reveal that I'm like, that both doesn't surprise me and actually isn't true. Like, I mean, I'm not surprised by the actual true bit, but what you just said is not true, and it's still not a surprise. Like, I don't even, yeah. Matthew Modine has had some lines, so I'm now starting to see why they would have bothered to get Matthew Modine instead of just an animatronic, because he didn't speak forever.
But what do you think of the young actor playing Eleven?
What's her name? Bobby Millie or Millie Bobby June or whatever? She's awesome. No, I agreed with you before, and I still do. Yeah,
she's still
really good. All of her stuff I like. Also, some weird racial profiling in the show, because pretty much every black person in the show is a dick. And I don't think they did it on purpose, but it's a little weird. I was so pleased, though, because it's a horror movie, and, you know, or it's a horror thing, and everybody's freaking out and all this. So mild spoilers if you've never seen a horror film. But we had the, you know, everybody thinks, oh, this person's crazy, oh, you're just imagining it, whatever. And then we had the episode where I'm like, now every main character believes that there's something evil going on, so now we can stop that shit. I was so happy about that. And it was just, like, all one episode. Like, one episode, everybody who needed to be convinced was convinced, and then we moved on. So, yeah, bad. But we got two more of those. Went and saw Ghostbusters.
What did you think of it?
I loved it. I really loved it.
Really?
Yes. It was exactly what I was expecting. It was exactly what I was hoping for.
It didn't seem paced weirdly to you?
Not at all. It seemed paced really familiarly. Like, that's the pacing of most movies of that sort, in my opinion.
It's like I told you. Maybe I just need to see it again, and I'll, like, whatever was wrong in my head when I watched it the first time will be gone, and I can enjoy it. I don't really know.
I haven't heard anybody say they don't like, I mean, anybody who's actually seen it, say they don't like it. I did talk to somebody who just saw it the other day and said they enjoyed it, but they didn't enjoy it as much as they expected or as much as other audience members seem to. And their theory, which at first sounds crazy to me, but I don't know, is that they don't watch SNL, and so they felt like there was sort of in-jokes, which there weren't any explicit ones, but there may be, especially with Leslie Jones and Kate McKinnon, there could be something of, if you are more familiar with them, that makes a difference. No, I loved it. Given some things, given it's an action comedy,
okay,
and given it is very clearly an homage or to the original, like just shoehorning in cameos and references and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I didn't think it detracted. You just have to be prepared for that fact. Given all that, I liked it. I liked it a lot. I hope they make more of them. Kate McKinnon's still amazing. Everybody in it was really good. It was very telling to me. So there's comedies, and then there's comedies. There's comedies that funny things happen in the world. And then there's comedies where the world is a funny place. And it's sort of the difference between just a movie with like a lot of wit in it versus a Zucker Brothers thing, you know, where like jokes happen that like you're like, that's funny because that would never really happen kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And this movie, I went in kind of assuming it was the first type, and it made a big point immediately to say it was the second type, because it starts with a gentleman giving a tour of an historic home, and he says right off the bat, there's a bunch of just silly things. Like, the one I remember is, like, rumor has it, this is the room where P.T. Barnum got the idea to enslave elephants.
Yeah.
As though a tour guide would say that. Yeah. And that's the thing. So very quickly, but it's weird that they did that, because for the most part, it doesn't feel that way to me. It feels like a realistic comedy. I mean, obviously there's ghosts and shit, but I know. It's not like, well, like think Airplane or whatever. Like, say, oh, the emergency pilot, and it's an inflatable guy, you know, mm-hmm. shit like that. Like, it's just not real. This one, for the most part, I felt like I was supposed to believe it was real, but they kept doing bits like that that I'm like, definitely not. The entire character of Chris Hemsworth's guy, not a real...
Right.
person in a lot of ways. He did a remarkable job, though. I was very pleased. I was prepared not to be when I sort of heard about the character, but I really liked that. That was fun. There is no Rick Moranis cameo, which surprised me, because there's literally everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I was like, we're missing a couple, and then we got the ones that I thought we were missing, like everybody, except Rick Moranis. That was very weird.
Did you catch the bust of...
Of Harold Ramis? Yes, yeah. I did.
So.
They weren't super subtle with that. The reference to the controversy, I thought, was noticeable, but not at all detracting. I thought it was just about right for that, too. Yeah, I was just super pleased. And I absolutely loved Kate McKinnon's character. I'm still sort of trying to parse all of it.
Right, but, okay, so her character in particular, she didn't really have an arc. I mean...
No, she definitely did not.
Then that didn't disappoint you or bother you in any way?
I seldom find stuff where every character gets an arc. I mean...
This is, like, you know, one of the main characters, though. This is, I mean, there's only four lead characters. I mean, you could sketch a little something, a little background, a little... I mean, by the time she gives sort of a tearful speech at the end or whatever, you don't really know how to feel about it because haven't really learned anything about her as a character.
Yeah, I don't know. Story-wise, there's no real arc. I feel like she showed a lot more character. I did find it, going home, I found it very interesting to think about because, as I have said before in my old age here, I have a major issue with a very common trope, mental illness as comedy, as magic power, as things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Typified, I think, perfectly in Sheldon Cooper on Big Bang Theory, who, I don't care what y'all say, I don't care what they say, I don't care what the writer says, I don't care what the actor says, he is portraying somebody on the autism spectrum, and he's portraying it for laughs. And I think that is bullshit.
Okay.
People could make the argument that Kate McKinnon's character is like that as well.
Mm.
And so I pondered this. I don't think so. I think she is socially transgressive and perhaps socially inept, but I don't feel that there is any sort of neurological atypicalness to her.
Well, especially not given the speech she gives at the end. I mean, that's not...
Because there's... I mean, there's a lot of, like, she's doing something crazy. And I'm like, yeah, but she's doing something crazy like when I do something crazy. Like, to be funny, to amuse herself because she's bored, you know, things like this.
So you could relate to her on a fairly
I think
strong
so.
Personal level.
I think so. And there's a very strong both genderqueer and pansexual vibe coming off of her, and she's a very sexual character.
Mm-hmm.
In completely implicit ways. At no point does she kiss anyone or proposition anyone, or like there's no sex involved, but she very clearly that's a thing. I found her fascinating. Yeah, and very relatable to me.
That's interesting.
And she does have a scene where she gets to be a badass, and damn, she was a badass. And good effects all around, too. I like that.
Well, you do
have to stay for the end. There is a little stinger at the end.
Well, like I say, maybe we'll watch it again. And
I may see it again next week.
I'll have a different take on it.
Because we both really liked it, and the youngest sister-in-law hasn't seen it, so we're like, if you want to go see it while we're in Virginia, we'll go with you.
My wife liked parts of it quite a bit. She's got some deal on her computer at work where it's a wallpaper and it like shuffles through images.
Oh, yeah.
And she's got it full of like, well, she's got several pictures of Linda Carter's Wonder Woman. She's got Xena. She's got, you know, a lot of classic female comic book TV movie heroes or whatever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And she added, Holtzman's image in there because she liked her a lot. And I think she'd go to the theater and watch it again just to see herself what she'd think of it a second time. But we'll probably wait till it's on DVD to watch it again. But, you know, people ask us what we think of it, and it's hard because sometimes it even depends on my mood when they ask me what I'm going to say, you know.
So you gotta take it for what it is. It is not, in my opinion, it is not an inherently feminist movie. It's not anti-feminist, but I don't think that was the point.
It's much like
it's not a particularly deep. It's a standard shot. I mean,
it's a lot like Bridesmaids or Spy or any of the other films. But the thing is, that's another thing is, I haven't seen Bridesmaids, but I saw Spy and I saw, what was the other one?
See, I haven't seen Spy. The Heat was his other.
I saw both of those films and I liked them. I mean, I liked them a lot. Didn't have any issues with them at all. So I thought I was ready for whatever this film was going to be, and I guess I just wasn't.
This felt a little less like a Pulp Fiction movie to me. Little bit. Mm. I haven't seen Spy, but having seen The Heat and Bridesmaids, this felt a little different. And it's tricky because it's sort of a different genre.
Yeah, that's right.
Sort of.
That's right.
I think there is a lot. There was so much build up over what was going on that the tendency to sort of overthink it is there in this movie. But it's just, I mean, it's just a silly. It's a very silly movie. It's not. I mean, I'll put it this way, guys. I'm pretty sure the moral is believe in yourself, even if people tell you you can't do it. You know, like 95% of all movies out there.
Well, and
you could essentially do this movie as an animated Disney piece, just fine. It wouldn't be as good, but you could do it and not have to change very many things.
It's kind of like I said last time. You don't really know what expectations you go into something with, and I compared it to Batman Begins, how when I saw that movie for the first time, I didn't know how I felt about it. I had to see it several times before I decided I actually really, really liked it. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I reserve a solid opinion about it until I can see it again. But
you watch it some more. Come back when you're wrong. When you're right, I mean.
I didn't dislike it. I know that.
Yeah.
But I just don't know if I liked it. I liked aspects of it. But
I don't know how many lines have staying power. We were quoting the shit out of it the day we saw it. But now I'm like, I'm not sure I remember most.
You know, you mentioned that opening scene where the guy's taking people through.
Yeah.
And I remember when he was saying stuff like you're talking about, I remember thinking, oh, wait, this is going to be different than I thought. I mean, right away I remember thinking that.
Because I had the exact same thing as soon as he said that. And that's what, like, it was sort of a weird setup because most of the movie it very barely moved into that realm of sort of ridiculous fakeness to me.
Well,
I mean, it's terrible physics, obviously.
Maybe my mind just never corrected there.
And honestly, I mean, and some of it could be the editing, and some of it could be the writing. His part was very small. He was in two scenes. And I love that actor. I liked him on The Office. I like him in Silicon Valley. It felt awkward. Especially his second scene really felt like they chopped something somewhere.
Yeah,
that felt
it
weird.
Did, didn't it?
Yeah, but it's okay. It was a tiny bit. So, yeah, there were a few interesting cameos that weren't related to Ghostbusters, of people that I like and knew already. Also, gaming continued. Our new D&D campaign. We had a second session. And sort of wrapped up an adventure. And leveled up. We're going to be level 2 now.
Oh, good.
And I actually hit something.
Wow.
Yeah, as opposed to last time where all the fights involved me swinging at goblins, missing, having a goblin stab me in the gut, almost killing me, and then have somebody else wander up and kill it for me. which is embarrassing when you're the paladin. But I did hit something, and I proved that when I hit something, it gets hit. I literally sliced the motherfucker in half with my glaive. Yeah. So that was fun. Yeah, we're level 2, so that's neat. Gonna get new powers and stuff. That's going well. I think the group is enjoying it pretty well. I may be, like, Skyping or FaceTiming in for the session on Tuesday. From Virginia. So I can be involved. The book continues at a slow pace. I think I'm a little under... I'm about 1,000 words further than whenever I said last time, I think. Can't remember if that's 36,000 or 37,000, but hoping to get a lot done over the break.
Good.
I think that's mostly it. Oh, I beat Trine that I'd been playing. So my next thing is Far Harbor for Fallout 4.
Okay.
But I purposely decided to wait till I come back from the trip to do it. So, because it was just a few days ago, and I'm like, I'm going to get into this, and then I'll have to leave. And I've been playing things on my phone, so. That, and then I think after that, probably is going to be Assassin's Creed Unity. I did not think that. I thought I was going to do Shadow of Mordor next, but I think I'm going to switch it up. I've been talking a lot of Assassin's Creed with Stu, who I'm still mad at right now.
You're mad at him.
He borrows my iPod during the day at work. So he can listen to my audiobooks. But he has to give it back. Specifically because I got to take it to the gym the next day. And then one day he left and didn't give it back. And I thought he took it with him because I couldn't find it on his desk either. And I skipped the gym the next day.
Same.
And then he wasn't there.
And then he wasn't there.
He was homesick. But I finally got a hold of him and found out he didn't take it home. It was in an unlocked drawer in his desk. So then I got it back. But I still didn't go to the gym. But yeah, it was like one rule we had and he broke it. And
The Joker made him break.
Also, no, and that was fun too. I'm like, damn it! Well, you had one rule, and then I'm like, dude, you don't fuck around with me. I can talk to people. I can get you deported. I can get you sent back to whatever country you're from. The name escapes me at the moment. And his reply was Hawaii. I'm from Hawaii. You should deport me back there.
Not a country.
I almost said that, but then I would have felt like a complete loser. I didn't think about it. He's foreign. Maybe he doesn't know. Oh, Stu, Hawaii's a state, not a country, dumbass. I'm not even sure if Hawaii... Well, Hawaii may be a different thing in Welsh. I don't even know. Hawaii just means, like, you know, southern Philippines or something. Don't go to the Philippines right now, people. Do not go to the Philippines. There's a lunatic in charge.
Are you talking about politics?
Oh, yeah, I did mean American politics,
okay.
But, yeah, no, that guy's insane. Anyway, I think that's all I got, so maybe a hat thing. I don't know how many we have in there. I hope we have enough. People need to write in themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com with little notes, comments, questions, topics, things like that. What does it say?
Stu!
Hey, we were just talking about you.
He's asking a political question.
God. God damn it.
I don't want to read it because I'm afraid you're going to assault me.
Probably going to toss it out, but read it. I won't punch you for reading it. It's his words, not yours.
But you said...
I know. Dude, are you arguing that I should punch you into junk?
I mean, that I should leave and we should just stop recording altogether because you're in a mood.
I've been arguing that for years. What's it say?
Were you in charge of immigration?
No, I wasn't. No, limits, never.
What limits or requirements would you impose on those entering the U.S., becoming citizens, etc.?
I think that's a very complicated issue. I mean, I've asked myself this question before. I think it requires a lot of subtlety and nuance and cooperation. I think there is no answer I could state in 2 or 3 minutes that would in any way deal with it fairly and well. And pretty much anybody who's ever had a plan for how to do immigration reform, I have not liked it. On either side. Yeah. But I'm always like, I don't know. Because they're often too ham-fisted and too simple.
Well, or they focus on things that I'm not sure is really the problem. And part of it is I'm probably not entirely clear on what is the problem.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
I have a friend who was very big on hating illegal immigrants. Because they're like, if you want to come here, just do it legally. And I'm just like, oh my God, because I've read up on some stuff. Do you know how tough it is to come here legally? How long it takes? Even if you're, say, a nice gentleman like Stu, who happens to be white and speak English, sort of. Now, I mean, I think he cheated because he married somebody and had a kid with them. But to actually move here, like, even for white English-speaking people, the cost and the time and the complexity involved is huge. In terms of getting permanent resident status.
Well, and
like a visa. I mean, because most illegal immigrants are people who got a visa to come here and then just stayed.
That's an important point to make, though, is that it seems like the lion's share of the problem is people who got visas and then they ran out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but think about that for a second. These people got visas.
Yeah.
So they're
probably not rapists?
They're probably not criminals. They probably are perfectly decent people. And not only that, but the reason their visa ran out or they allowed it to run out is probably for reasons that any one of us would understand if we knew what that reason was. What's more is we as a country want good, decent people to come here and to stay. So if the only crime this person has committed is letting their visa run out, I mean, really, on a moral and ethical scale, that's like driving 60 miles an hour in a 45 mile an hour zone, people. It's not high felony crime.
Yeah.
And again, especially if there's some extenuating circumstance that clearly anyone would understand, and if they're good, decent people who are working hard and making our country better, then we should want them to continue staying here if that's their wish. So there's a lot of, like any legal situation, there's a lot of complete lack of logic involved. And you've got a whole group of people who feel like, well, you know, if they've overstayed their visa, they're breaking the law and they should be deported. And that's not untrue. That's what the law says. That's what would happen if we were following the letter of the law. But I don't know a single mature, adult, reasonable person who thinks the letter of the law is what we should follow every single time in every single case, because you can't craft laws to apply to every single case. That's why we have a judicial system. The judicial system isn't to put people in. Judges aren't just there to judge people according to the letter of the law. The reason they're there is because we know that sometimes the law is hard to decide. Sometimes it's ambiguous. In fact, in the United States, a jury has the power to let a person go, even if it's very clear the person is guilty. That's one of the powers that a jury has, because our legal system acknowledges that laws are not these things that you can just go by the letter of the law and always be right. And immigration is the same kind of thing. A lot of people are getting caught in these loopholes and contradictions and that don't make any sense, and they're the people we should really be concerned about, in my opinion, when it comes to thinking about immigration reform. And I think that's what everybody would think, except people get distracted by all this stuff that you were talking about, where people are saying, oh, they're stealing our jobs, or oh, they're making our social services cost too much, or oh, they're committing crimes when they come into the country. But I don't think the data actually supports any of that. But then, like I said it right at the beginning, I don't feel like I have a good grasp of all of this stuff. These are just my sort of half-baked thoughts on it, I guess.
I wish I could remember the title. It was like The Visitor or possibly The Guest. I don't remember now. Movie I saw a few years ago, a little indie flick about... Well, see, I feel a little spoilery, but a guy goes to... He has an apartment in the city that he lives in sometimes, and he goes there, and there are people squatting there. And it turns out somebody rented them the apartment under false pretenses. And he actually agrees to let them stay. And there is an illegal immigration component, and I don't want to spoil it. But it really... I don't remember if it's actually based on a true story, but it's one of those that's totally possible. And I found it very interesting to see that perspective. Just in general, there are a lot of really terrifying immigrant stories out there. And they bother me, because whatever the system should be, it should not make people scared. Of course, I guess some of that is the fault of other nations, because some people are just scared that they're going to go back to where they came from, and they don't want to go there.
Well, but it gets back to what I was saying before. If most of the illegal immigrants in our country, and my understanding is that is like the lion's share. Like, if those people didn't exist, there would be so few people sneaking in that we wouldn't even be having this conversation, is how I understand it. So if the real problem or the main problem are these people that are overstaying their visas, again, they secured visas. So that should mean they're not the kind of people, you know, that we should be treating poorly. Or, you know, in some cases, it's probably true that deportation is a punishment that does not fit the crime.
Well, and it's one of those that's also just super skewed. In the same way, like enforcing drug laws, there's a huge demographic skew for who... Like, if you take the people who are breaking these laws and the people who are being punished for breaking these laws and the severity of those punishments, you find some fascinating racial and socioeconomic trends.
That's true.
And I think it's the same thing with the immigration situation. If you are doing well, if you are in a job that is, like, they consider you valuable, and it's frequently, if it's, you know, a higher, like a white-collar job, way less likely to be an issue. At my own workplace, there have been people who, due to certain circumstances involving occupational status and stuff, were at risk for their visa being rescinded. And I'm not going to say they handled it for them, but my company made some effort that they were not legally required to help this out. I'm guessing if you are in a shit minimum wage job somewhere in Southern California, and you have some sort of situation like that, they are less likely to help you out with that, and more likely to just stick your ass on a bus. And so things are a mess, and I don't know how to fix them, but I'm confident that none of the people who claim to know how to fix them know how to fix them.
Well, I'm confident that whether or not they know how to fix them, they're not interested in fixing them.
Also that. At this point, it comes down to public support, and then the other factor becomes money.
Well, right, because...
Because it's also why everybody says they're going to move to Canada if things are... You can't move to Canada. Pretty much, you need one of two things. One, you need to have skills bad enough that Canada wants you, like, really wants you. Two, you have to have enough money to buy your way in. Those are your only real two options. Or, I mean, marry somebody or whatever. But you can't just say, hey, I'm going to go live there. I know, because, well, in part, because my parents looked into it back in 04, I believe.
Well, another angle on this that I've heard and that I'm tempted to think is at least partly correct is that there's when you try to find out what the immigration problem is, you end up not really finding anything.
Mm.
Like, again, the people who are overstaying their visas aren't causing any problems.
Yeah.
The fact that there are so many of them is more a function of the fact that there's not enough employees in the labor department or whatever to or whoever handles that.
The economics don't match up.
Yeah, to investigate all those people. But again, they're not hurting anybody, so nobody's really worried about it.
No, including the financial one. There's a lot of argument, oh, they're not paying taxes. Well, a whole bunch of illegal immigrants do pay taxes. Very few make use of Social Security because they're illegal and they don't want to risk it. And doesn't take into account sales tax, which is huge tax base for a lot of things.
The more you look at it, the less of an issue it even really seems to be. That the only problem is that perfectly decent people are living here who aren't legal. That's not causing a problem for anybody. It's just a book. It's a backlog, I guess. And what's really happening is people who are upset about other things, like the economy or the fact that they haven't gotten a raise in 10 years or whatever.
Or that the darkies make them uncomfortable.
Are looking for someone to blame.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that they can point to. And there's no logic or reason or anything real out there that they have to worry about. And I mean, that seems... And again, I'm no expert on it. I don't feel like I'm as knowledgeable about it to make any definite statements about it. But that rings true to me, and everything I've seen is that there's almost no problem here, except there's a backlog of visas, and that's it. And that's a problem that's just a bureaucratic problem. For people to point to this as being something that's making the economy go bad or making anything bad... is just someone's looking for someone to blame. And of course, as you pointed out, there's a strong racist angle to that, obviously. And I don't know. But it's still something that the major political parties feel like they have to put on their platform as something they're going to deal with.
Have I talked about Day Without a Mexican?
No.
It's a movie. That my sister and her husband, full disclosure, is Mexican. I mean, he's American, but he was born and raised in Mexico. He has dual citizenship. And it's I guess it's a sci-fi movie, I guess. The idea is that everybody in California wakes up one morning, and there is a dense, impenetrable wall of fog around all the borders of the state, and every Mexican, or more accurately, sort of every Latin American, every Latino and Hispanic are gone. And it mostly, then it kind of plays out like an apocalyptic disaster movie, because so many things, like, don't function because of that. And I should say, it's not a particularly good movie, if I'm fair about it. It's not that good. But it's worth seeing for its originality and for what it's sort of tackling. And it's pretty funny, too. But yeah, I always thought the fact that they made that... And it's clearly a low-budget movie, but it's not rock-bottom budget movie. Like it's done okay in terms of production. Like, it's a real movie. It's not just something some crazy person did.
Well, here's something else I'll say. Iowa has its share of, well, maybe quite a bit less than its share, whatever that even means, but there are immigrants specifically from Mexico here in the state.
Yes, we definitely don't have our share. We need some more.
I've met many of them, and it was always a positive experience. And you know, my opinion is, I have a lot of things I'd like to see Iowa do in terms of, you know, getting away from these large corporate farms and more back to family farms, locally grown, sustainably grown, preferably organically grown food and so on. And there are a lot of things that it's going to be hard to find people who want to do it. There are a lot of young people who want to start farms and stuff, and I hope Iowa can recruit many of those people. But I'm totally in favor of recruiting from any other country, including Mexico. And it wouldn't bother me if the population of Iowa, especially in terms of growing rural communities and an increase in family farms, if that increased the population of Mexican immigrants here, I would be completely fine with that. I'm sure there are plenty of Iowans who would disagree with that sentiment, but I don't understand it. I don't understand.
Well, you and I have never been particularly nationalistic, so.
No, that's true.
If American ego boundaries were a concern for you and I think it would be different. But nobody ever couches it that way. If somebody legitimately was like, I have a sense of this country and I feel that there is, I want there to be borders so I can tell what is my country, I would understand that argument better. Nobody ever makes that argument. I still would disagree with that argument. And there are socioeconomic versions of that argument. I'm not going to say, oh, everybody should just be able to come in. There shouldn't even really be a border, you know? Like, I'm not going to say that because I do realize even if every single person that crosses the border is nice, is not bad, is not a criminal, whatever, there are complications in having that kind of policy. But part of me wants it because, yeah, I'm not opposed. I'm certainly not an American exceptionalist by any stretch.
No, neither of us are that, for sure.
And so I'm just like, why do you care?
Well, it's also hard for me, as someone who was raised in the United States, to... It just seems so hypocritical to be critical of immigrants. I mean, all of my ancestors were immigrants, every single one of them. And some of them weren't even very good people. So I don't, you know what I mean? I don't know how a person who has a similar background to mine, which many of the anti-immigrant people do, I don't know how they sidestep the hypocrisy of being so hardline about who can come in and who can't.
Usually the letter of the law is the argument they try and put up, but we've already deconstructed that one. Did you ever see the South Park episode with the time travelers?
There was just one?
Well, I'm speaking of one in particular where somebody came back from the future because the future was terrible and they were going to get a job and start a savings account and the interest would grow and then their families would benefit in the future.
Okay.
And then more people started coming back. But it was like Terminator style, so it was only one way. And it very quickly turned into an immigration bit.
Oh.
But it was... And in fact, they had it like, I can't believe you're so time-cist. And they're like, what's time-cist? It's like racist, but... Oh, okay, it's like racist, but people from the future. And yeah, they addressed all the things. To the degree that I think the moment at which like it just becomes really obvious is enough time travelers show up that the town has a district that's... I think it's called Little Future or whatever. And there's a time where they're walking through it, and the people from the future have flying cars, because they do. It's like hovering off the ground, you know, kind of thing. And they pull up alongside the guys, and they look at them, and then the car just bounces like it's on the like it's been bagged. And I'm like, yeah, there. And they call them goobacks, because when they come through, they have all that purple goo on them. So, yeah.
Wow.
They get mad when they can't speak English properly. Yeah, the whole thing was kind of impressive. But that reminds me. The subplot with Eric Cartman, he figures out he doesn't like them, go figure. And so his answer is that if everybody turns gay, they won't have any descendants that can turn into those people. And so he starts a big thing where a bunch... Because there's also a group who are obsessed that they're taking their job. They took her jobs! They're always mad that the people from the future are taking her jobs! So all those guys get together and start having sex in a giant pile that, like, moves across the town doing this. But then near the end, they point out, somebody has the brilliant idea that if we just improve the world and make it better, the future won't suck and they won't feel the need to come back here. So then begins a montage with a happy little song of, like, them cleaning up the town and building community gardens and everything. And then they stop, and the guy who had it said, I'm sorry, this is even gayer than the big pile of guys having sex with each other. And they're like, yep, back to the pile, and they all start taking off their clothes and say, back to the pile, and walk off camera. And that's the end of the episode.
That's the end of the
episode. That's the end of the episode. It is South Park. Still South Park. It can be insightful and clever. Still South Park. Still gonna end with, I made you eat your parents. Or, this is even gayer than the big pile of guys having sex with each other. Which I gotta admit is actually a handy phrase I have used since then.
Oh.
This is even gayer than big pile of guys having sex with each other. We should wrap it up. It's a little early, but we had another one to do, so.
Alright.
If you'd like to talk about what movie or TV show reminds you of the stuff that William says, go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. It's pretty much how I stay awake, people. He talks, I come up with a reference. It's kind of our shtick. So do that. Also, like us on Facebook, because nobody does that anymore. It makes me sad. Also, listen next week, which for us will just be a few minutes in the future, but for you guys, a whole week, maybe even longer, if you're one of those assholes who just, like, stop listening. And yeah, so anyway, also with this time left, then I can punch William in the junk.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.